It's great to be in Sunday school on Easter Sunday. So glad that you have joined us in our adult Sunday school class this morning. We want to get into the Word of God today, study His Word, and very, very important lesson today entitled Living as a Giver. We're thankful, amen, for the Word of God. And around us, there are events unfolding in our world, and we want to talk a little bit about that also today, letting us know that we are living in the end times. I have some of my heart that is heavy today because of the darkness and the gross darkness that is enveloping our world and the battle that we are fighting. But the church today is victorious. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And I'm thankful that God is touching hearts and souls and leading us and guiding us down the paths of righteousness. Let's get into the Word. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 is our beginning verse of Scripture. I have showed you all things, how so that laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we've got another lesson, I'm sure, somewhere. Sorry about that. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then in 2 Corinthians here, Paul is writing to the church at Corinthians, instructing them and encouraging them by telling them what he experienced from the church at Macedonia. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. There was a vision that Paul received. He was doing the work of God, and there was a brother asking him to come down to Macedonia, that he needed him. And so he picked up and left and went to Macedonia, and God did a great work there because God had spoken into his heart. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And I want to stop right there and talk just a moment here about the church in Macedonia. They begin out talking about them, Paul does in verse 2, how that in great trial of afflictions, they had the abundance of joy. Now, at first value, those two terms seem like they're totally contradictory. Because how in the world, if you're having a trial of affliction, can you have an abundance of joy? Well, we know that life has its adversities because we're living in a world that is dying. We're living in a world that is decaying around us. And we're thankful for the newness of life that comes. That's one of the reasons we love spring, is because we are assured of God that He is still giving the earth newness of life. Every time that a child is born into the world, God is letting us know that He still believes that there is hope for mankind. Amen. So we have this death and decay that's going on all around us. We're on Main Street here. We look out and we see these old buildings that are around us, how that they are falling apart, how that they need lots of maintenance and they need lots of care. But in our life, we are attracted to that which is new. We are attracted to that which is shiny, that which is glitzy. And so, rather than taking care of that which we have that is old in America, we tear it down and we build something new that is not near as great as what we tore down. There's nothing like going and seeing some of the older buildings around and how well they were built and the quality of materials that is in them. And I don't know if you've ever been to any of the old hotels and saw some of the great structures. But they didn't build things quite like we do today, and so people are tearing them down. Back then, the motel rooms were a lot smaller. We want more room today in our motel rooms. And so it's not as attractive. So as we get older in life, we realize that our body is wearing out. We have problems. We have things that doesn't work like it should. And we realize that we're not going to live forever. So there are afflictions. Your car today is breaking down. It is decaying. It is rotting as it sits out there. Your house is falling apart. Your clothes are rotting upon you. It's all there as part of what is going on. But yet, through that, God can let us have an abundance of joy by seeing the victory that we are obtaining through our walk with God. And it is a victory that is obtained one step at a time, but we are gaining ground as we walk forward. We are possessing the land. We are possessing the blessings of God. We are establishing a place that our children can have the Word of God taught unto them, are having the Word of God taught unto them, that they have a peer group that they can bind together with that will be a positive influence in their life. The reason that a lot of the children in our world are messed up is because they were not in a positive group. They did not have people around them to encourage them in the faith. That's one of the reasons that God built and established the church, is because He knows that all of us are going to go through seasons of life where there's going to be discouragement, and we need the encouragement and the strength of our brothers and sisters. We need those that are around us that will hold up their hand, that will let us know that, hey, you're valuable to us. You're a part of the team. And it's tough because there are times that the seasons of life will take us out of the game almost, as it seems, where we're not as involved as we should be. But we're still a part of the team. We're still a part of the effort. Our contribution may not be as much as it was, but we're still there. The things that we can do can still be as valuable, even though we may not be playing on the first string anymore. God has a plan and a purpose for all of it. So they had the abundance of joy because they were walking forward, obtaining the blessings of God. But it says, and their deep poverty abounded. These were poor people. They had deep poverty. You know, we have poverty in America, but we really don't have poverty in America. May God have mercy on us and our ideas sometimes. God has been good to us. But He said it abounded into the riches of their liberality. They were generous, liberal, giving people, and they didn't allow their circumstances to make excuse for them. They didn't look around themselves and totally turn inward and say, I have a great need for this. I could use this at the moment. There is sacrifices that I'm going to have to make if I give this of myself. But they were able to obtain the promise and have the joy because they were willing to make some sacrifices of themselves. They were willing to give some things of themselves. And He was showing them as an example to the Corinthians here, the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a very Gentile-type church, and they dealt with a lot of things that us Gentiles can relate to today around us. So Macedonia were a group of people that were givers. And as we think about the meaning of giving and the meaning of receiving, there's a lot of things that may come through your mind, because your ideas are touched, and they're either tainted or they're either enhanced by your past experiences. And we've have our carnality to look at it, and there's something that's built into our carnality that we attach certain things together. We realize that we go and we work at a job, and then we are rewarded with a paycheck. This is a process of labor, and then as a result of it, our wages come unto us. So we look and we attach these things together. What does it mean to give? What does it mean to receive? And all of us are accosted by, have people around us that are on the take. They're trying to get something from us, and they are being very deceitful in the way they're presenting themselves. They are basically looking for something for nothing. And so as a result of that, we become jaded sometimes in our life and realize that we wasted that resource and that potential when we was taken in, when we were deceived by that person. So all of those come into our idea of what it is to give and what it is to receive. But as we walk through life, our life can be greatly enriched by the generosity of having good people in our life. Because I want to tell you, the greatest asset that you have in your life is how you spend your time. That's the greatest asset that you have in your life. Because when you invest your time into something, today you are investing your time in coming to the house of God and allowing the Word of God to enrich your life. You've been enriched enough by God to realize that when you come into His house and you hear the Word of God, that your life is made better as a result of learning of God's principles, of a relationship that God has with us. God cares for all of us. God loves all of us. And He wants all of us to learn more about Him. Relationships are enhanced when you learn more about people. How can you buy a gift that is appreciated for a perfect stranger? It's pretty difficult to do. You know, you buy this person a dozen roses and you find out that they're allergic to flowers and they're a guy. Well, you thought it was the perfect gift. It's what you would have wanted. Well, it's better to give them that than to give them nothing, because at least they know you care about them. But when you learn about the person, when you are able to be involved with them and have a relationship with them, then you're able to really bless that person with things that are beneficial for them. And God is that way. When we learn about Him and learn what His purpose was in creating mankind, and then as mankind is created, what type of relationship that God wants to have with mankind, then our life can be enriched so greatly by what He has to offer us. So as we look at the process of giving, our time is so very, very valuable. And to do the work of God, then we know that each of us can go out and do things that are blessings to other people, that show the love of God, that show the generosity of God in our life. Just simple things that you can do all day long in your life. Kind words to people. Being courteous enough to open the door for somebody. Just generosity, things that you can do, things that are involved, reaching out, being neighborly. Those are all things that can enhance the life of other people around us. Wow. We think about how far America has fallen. You know, they tell me that in New York City that somebody can have a heart attack on the sidewalk and the masses will just keep walking by them. And they're dying and nobody stops, nobody calls 911, nobody wants to get involved. They've got their own life that is there. They've got they're totally inward. What is important just for me. God has a law of harvest that He has promised. Galatians talks about the law of harvest. And there's seven things that tie into that law of harvest. If you want to look on page 6, I'm going to jump over there. I may jump some today. Very bottom of page 6. Brother Jonathan, could you get me Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 this morning? I want to read that, probably verse 7 and verse 8 today. Do you have it?
Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
So, we're only going to reap what we have sown. I cannot reap somebody else's crop. It's going to be my effort. Okay? The biblical time, there was a great farming community. And if you go out and you put corn kernels in the ground and cover them up, then when the time comes, those corn kernels grow up and they got the corn growing on them, you're going to reap corn. So if you go out and you sow, let's say you sow cucumber seeds, and you say, well, man, I'm really in the mood for some tomatoes. You're not going to get tomatoes off those cucumber seeds. This is what you have sown. This is what you're putting in the ground. So the biblical implication then spiritually comes in, and that is in our life, if we want to have people in our life that have compassion on us and are willing to help us in our times of need in life, then we need to sow the acts of compassion. We need to reach out and care for someone else. If we're someone and, let's say, for example, the lady has a child, and as a result of that child, the new baby comes in, you got to have clothes for that kid, all these different things. A lot of things are involved in taking care of that. So it's great to be able to, you know, have a baby shower and get some gifts for the lady and put it all together. But somewhere in that, somebody has to sow that seeds, because if all we do is have a give, take mentality, give me, take, then there's nothing to reap. All we've done is harvested. We've harvested the bounty that everybody else has sown in their generosity, and we have sown no seeds, then we've got a problem. Why today does America have huge institutions full of people? Because they haven't sowed nothing. and they're at a place where they can't take care of themselves anymore. They have nothing anymore, and they've lived within all their life. They taught their children selfishness. They taught their children, you don't matter to me. Nobody cares for them. So we're all going to be at a time that we have need. This lady has the baby. She doesn't feel like cooking food. Her family still has to eat. There's things that still has to be done. The house still needs to be clean. Everybody can chip in, can do some things, show kindness unto this lady. And they are sowing. Well, you say, well, I'm 60 years old. I'm never going to have another baby again. Well, it's an act of kindness. One of these days, you may need somebody to take you to the doctor. And well, hey, I tell you what, you know, somebody that's 40 years old, 35 years old, that's, you know, be honest with you. It makes me nervous riding in the car with somebody that's 85. You know, you pray. If you need to pray through, I can tell you some people that just love to take you to church with them. And you'll be prayed through by the time you get there. I don't know where that dent come from. That ditch wasn't there. I looked. I had plenty of warm time. Yeah, I had no idea that ditch was there, but I do now. He ain't even going to let me have no slack. I'd never been to his house before, run off in the ditch, I tell you. Younger generation. We reap of the same kind as what we sow. If you sow pears, you're going to have pear trees. You sow tomatoes, you're going to reap tomatoes. Now, there's... every once in a while, God will bless you and cross-pollinate some things. Amen. I was growing a garden out at Stratford one time and planted my watermelons right next to my tomatoes. And my watermelon cross-pollinated on my tomato plant. And I had a watermelon growing off of my tomato vine. It was the shape of a tomato, but it had a watermelon rind growing on the outside of it. It was amazing. How that some of those things can happen. So God sometimes does have mercy on you and blesses you in your ignorance and your stupidity. But I only had one of them, and I had hundreds of tomatoes. So you're going to reap in kind. Our time is a very valuable asset that God has given us, and there's so many things that need to be done. So many different areas of life where people go through the different stages. You start out with the children. The children need attention in their life. They need good peer activities to go on. They need safe environments to go to. Very, very, very important. And somebody has to give in order for that kid to have quality time. And we're living in a world, unfortunately, where there are a lot of single parents. And there's great dads out there that need a mother's influence that is positive in their children's life. I know of a great guy that is raising his daughter and his son. How in the world can a mother leave her children and go off and really have nothing to do with them? And you know, it's a sad, sad situation. That is there, but he's in there. He takes the kids to church. He works hard to provide a living for them, and God has blessed him in the fact that his mother and his dad's still alive, and so they have the influence of the grandmother there to give the daughter some nice feminine advice and counsel, and he's got a great sister that's involved that helps with his children. But it's hard enough when there's a biological mother and father in the home raising the kids with all the things that are going on and all the decisions that need to be made. So there's time that we can reach out and we can invest into these children and show them that we care. You know, it would be great this summer if we would invest and sometimes on Sunday afternoon that we would go out to the park and have a hot dog roast and people would come and bring hot dogs or hamburgers and you know, the church kids could get together there in the park and play and then have supervision around them. And while the kids are playing, some of the adults could have adult conversations with each other. You know, it's kind of a neat thing to have every once in a while. And those kids could have some role models. I mean, the children look up to the teenagers. It's very important. They see that as being the ultimate. One of these days I'm going to be this teenager. They look at mom and dad. That's mom and dad. That's old fogey. That's over the hill. I'm never going to be like that. Man, have I got news for them. I shaved this morning, and once again, as I shaved, I looked in the mirror, and my daddy looked back at me. I was never going to be like him. So, but that takes giving of somebody's time, investing. I'd really go take a nap. Well, let's see, I'm going to play all day Saturday, and that way I can mow my grass on Sunday afternoon. I got to mow my grass. No, you don't got to mow your grass on Saturday afternoon. You just don't want to mow it on Saturday. So you're making an excuse so you can do something else on Saturday rather than mow your grass, which it's our time. We do what is important to us. We put the values together as we see fit. And as a result of that, reaching out, other kids could be brought into that situation. It's a great outreach ministry. It's a great time that is involved. You know, the house of God, we're in an old storefront building here, but God can give us strength and wisdom, and we want to make this the most attractive storefront church in the world. We want to do our best, invest our time and our energy, keeping it clean, doing maintenance on it, making it look nice. Hey, God blessed us with these chairs. They're great and wonderful. And if you don't like them, I'll get you a folding chair out, and you can sit in that for a month, and you'll come back and tell me how great and wonderful these padded chairs are. But you know what? They were used. These chairs were 19 years old. And there's a positive and a negative to that. The positive thing is they're solid. There's probably people now that's had chairs like this for 3 years that they bought new, and they're already falling apart because they didn't make them very well. But these are solid. But the negative thing is that, you know what? They've got a lot of dirt and dust that keeps coming out of them, and they could be cleaned. Somebody could spend time in cleaning them. You know, the platform could be repainted. The altars could be repainted. There's things that can be done investing our time in the kingdom of God. All kinds of ways that, you know what? You're investing, you're doing, and people are not going to walk in the door and say, "Oh my goodness, this place is now the Taj Mahal. Somebody painted the altars. Who is it? Let's give them a plaque and vote them in the most valuable church member." You know what will probably happen? As soon as you get done painting the altars, there'll be some kid that comes over here and goes, "Zoop, zoop, zoop." And black streaks go whoosh, right down your new paint job. But you're investing time in that which is valuable. This is what I love. This is what is great for me. Man. Our guys have been working hard, and they've got a great Easter skit for tonight. We still got faith it's going to turn out great. Oh, they could just get that guy that's playing Jesus to remember his lines, he'll be all right. But it is time that is invested in doing something like this. Music takes time that is involved. Lord willing, we want to have a revival this summer. And people can set aside time in their schedule so we can have 3 or 4 nights that everybody can be in the house of God. And we can invest time in going out and inviting people to come to the house of God. So we have things that can be beneficial. Why is it that we're reaching out to a lost and dying world? The first reason is because the wages of sin is death, and death is a miserable process. And we got a lot of people in the misery of sin, and as a result of it, they just keep compounding their problem. Alcohol addictions, drug addictions, broken relationships because of what they're doing. Right on down the line, the problems that come. And so there's a love that's in our heart for mankind. And we want to reach out and we want to help these people get closer to God and in their walk with God. But the secondary benefit that comes with it is that the church body needs to grow and get larger in order to better accommodate the families that are there. Amen. It's great to have different talents and abilities that are in the church that are able to do different things. More music that is involved in the church. More Sunday school teachers that are involved. People that have abilities to help with our Skit Center productions that are going on there. People that are great in maintenance that can do maintenance work. People that are great with the youth. If you only got 2 guys, you can go have a camp out, but it's more exciting if you have about 15 guys doing a camp out, let me tell you. It really is. It's a lot more exciting. Because there's going to probably be somebody in that 15 that kind of likes something that you like doing. There's going to be a couple of guys that want to stay up all night fishing. Honey, you're not going to get me staying up all night fishing with you. Unless I've really prayed real hard, okay? Amen. I'm going to go to bed about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And then there's going to be an old timer or two that'll wake up about 6 and start rattling the pans and they're cooking breakfast for you. So, hey, if you got to get out of bed, it's kind of nice to roll out of bed and have some bacon and eggs to eat, start your morning out. And there's going to be some young guys that are going to want to do something, go out and try to shoot a rabbit or whatever. So the body of Christ, people that are involved, the house of God, there's so many things that we can do to enhance the lives around. A singles ministry where the single people are able to get together. How in the world can the single people get together and have quality adult conversation if all their kids are running around? Well, it don't work. You need people then to help take care of their kids that are there. Then you have relationship seminars, the couples connection. Well, the couples need to get together, be a couple, and realize that, hey, they did date one time. And their kids need somebody to take care of them while that's happening. And so all of these things are involved. The youth, they need activities to get together. They have time, but there's just the problem with being young and still getting an education. You don't have any money. You got lots of time. You got lots of energy. And you got lots of ideas. Well, they need help and support. Somebody that will help them with their fundraiser. Well, I can't give them $1,000 to go to Branson. Well, can you make something so they can sell it? Can you go help sell their fundraiser? Et cetera, et cetera. All of the things that are a process of sowing in the lives of other people, investing in those that are around you. And the reason this is free, because I can't prove this yet, okay? The Lord's going to be good, and if the Lord don't come, I will prove this. The reason that we have a lot of people in our society that are old today is because they are not willing to invest in youth. Beautiful, beautiful testimony of a man that was in his late 70s, that every Friday night he would go and bake several dozen chocolate chip cookies and take them over to the youth meeting at the church. What in the world is a 75-year-old man going to get out of spending 2 or 3 hours baking chocolate chip cookies and take them over to kids that scarf them down and say, "Well, that was good, where's the next one?" You know what? He did this for several months. He would show up, he'd bring the chocolate chip cookies, say hi to the kids that were around the table, lay them out, and leave and go back home. But young kids do have a brain that finally connects. And that brain connects real close to that stomach down there. And so, these kids became realizing where these cookies were coming from. When they went home, mom didn't have chocolate chip, fresh baked chocolate chip cookies for them. And so he would come and he began to sit down for a while and eat a couple of cookies and talk to them. And over the process of a year, he'd almost built relationships with every one of these kids that were in that group. And he became a grandpa-like figure to them. And these kids had a trust in him. And the people in the church is wondering, why are all these teenagers going by after church and talking with Gramps? Why are all these teenagers so friendly with Gramps? Because they knew that Gramps cared about them. He was willing to invest in them, and he did it for months, and it looked like he got nothing in return. But it takes time to harvest the crop that is there. We reap in a different season that we sow. That's verse number 3 that is there. One of the things that my dad would tell me, he said, "Son, cast a little bread upon the water, and it will return in due season." I am so thankful today for the reaping that I have done in my life, for the great and wonderful people that have been kind and generous and loving to me, even though I have never sowed into their life. And Lord willing, tonight, my elder and mentor, Brother and Sister Hurley, will be with us in service. And you want to meet these great people. These are loving, caring, giving people that have given their life to the gospel and given their life to helping people. And I don't think life is long enough for me to ever totally realize and grasp the giving that is in these people's heart. And not the stories that they've told me, but the stories of the people around me, how these people have sacrificed and paid people's electric bill for them, how that they've sacrificed and babysitted people's kids so that they could work a job. Loving, giving examples of the gospel. And now at this phase in his life, he's done the hardest thing that I know a minister can ever do. And the fact that is that he has stepped aside and allowed a younger man to take the lead in the ministry of the church there. But we're blessed by it because he doesn't have to conduct a service. He don't have to be in that church service every week, so he's going to get to come down here some. And so we're going to be blessed by it. But we will reap in due season. I see heaven as a stockpile. The prayers that you pray go up to heaven. And then there are times that you need to make a withdrawal on that account. And if you've got something in the bank, then they're going to cover your check. But there's a lot of people bouncing prayers today. Because they've never sowed the crop. They've never invested in that which is eternal. Number five, we reap in proportion to what we sow. The seed is only going to have so much increase. But the beautiful thing about it is it's going to have increase. I don't know of any plant in the garden that when you plant one seed, you only get one seed back. I plant that one kernel of corn, and I'm liable to get 3 or 4 ears on there, and there'll be 100 kernels of corn on each ear. I'm going to get an increase over what it is. Amen. That which I invest in the kingdom of God, there is going to be the increase that comes with it. We will reap the full harvest if we will persevere, if we will endure, if we will be faithful until the harvest season. You can get in trouble several different ways in the harvest and sowing business. The Chinese got into real big trouble in their life at one point in time. The Chinese planted their potatoes, and when it came time, they ate the big, nice, juicy potatoes and kept the little bitty taters as the seed for next year. And that made sense to them. Eat the big, nice, juicy taters and use them little scrawny, good-for-nothing taters as seed because nobody likes eating them very much. Too much work. And after the process of 100 or so years, the Chinese finally woke up and scratched their head because the only thing they could grow were just little bitty taters. Because little bitty taters make little bitty taters. So a little sowing gets back a little reaping. But you know, there's a beautiful thing about God's economy. If I give, I'm going to talk about money as an example because you can understand that. Because it has so much more to do with money though. Time, effort, intellect, talent. But if I give a dollar to God, and Carl gives a dollar to God, they don't have the same value in God's economy. Carl's a great guy. One of these days I won't be able to say this. Man, I got the faith. God's going to bless him. But God has blessed me economically more than Carl right now. I've had to pay the price. I've got the gray hairs to earn more money than what he's earning right now in life. So it cost him a lot more to give a dollar to God than it does me. We're both given the same dollar. But God's going to bless his $1 more than my $1. Because that dollar is more precious to him. It cost him more to give into the kingdom of God. And so the devil wants to come by and give us the mentality that what you have doesn't matter, so don't give it. what you do doesn't matter, so don't do it. And the devil is a liar. Because when we bless, when we sow, then we're putting down a crop to reap. Now, there was a time that this old boy got a great big whopping paycheck at the end of the week. And that paycheck, you want to know how much it was? I got paid $25 a week. But I was investing in something. I was working in the business so that my brother could go and be the principal of a Christian school. And somebody had to run his retail business for him. But there wasn't any tuition that was charged at this Christian school. So there was no money to pay him a salary to be the principal at this Christian school. So this business that I worked in made money enough to pay him a salary. And I helped work the business. I'll never forget, when I was 16 years old, I sold 52 pianos and organs that year. And delivered about every one of them. And half of them were those big uprights or grands. Thank God I didn't have to do it by myself. That would never happen. Because I was the weak, scrawny kid that was always the last in all the races. Here I was delivering pianos. Figure that. But I was sowing into the kingdom of God. I mean, God's great. I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm not promoting myself. But I want to tell you why I'm blessed today. And I work 5 days a week, and I got 1 day a week off. And on Fridays, I got off, and it was back during the Stone Age, okay? I would go to the church on Fridays and run the printing equipment. You didn't have laser printers that you could print lessons up. You wanted to have written information? It was done on an offset press. And it was old, wore out equipment. And I wonder why I didn't have any girlfriends, because I had black ink underneath my fingernails. Oh. Investing in the kingdom of God. Because it was good to me. God put me into the computer industry, the electronic industry, and gave me a knowledge and a talent and understanding for computers. And everybody else around me looked at a computer, and it was like a cow looking at a new gate. What in the world is this? And it was just, bam, this is how it works. Wow, this is neat. Let's try this. Let's try that. Boom, boom. It works. It works. It works. I got it. I figured it out. And so God blessed the investment that I made in the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful for all of God's goodness and all of God's mercy and all that He's done for me. But it takes time just continuing to walk down the path. But the sad thing also about the law of the harvest is that when people sow selfishness, they sow pride, they sow deceit, arrogance and haughtiness and all of these things. And those things have a harvest too. They come back. Something that has to be harvested. We can't change what we sowed in the past. We can change what we're sowing now. There's people today that their bodies are all broken up because they abuse their bodies. Many different ways people abuse their body. You know, I hope I don't kill anybody's theology today, but America's passion with football, we're abusing the bodies of our young men. You see the people that come out of this, their bodies are messed up. They're messed up. All for the old gladiator lust, greed aspect. Got a bunch of corrupt people that want to gamble on it. Want to relive their youth through the tragedies of someone else. You know, and I was thinking about reliving the youth of the tragedy of someone else. I was thinking about this morning about Easter and about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. It's such a beautiful, beautiful story. But I want to be honest with you. Some people really got a messed up idea about Jesus when they begin to proclaim that God loved me so much that He made somebody else go down and be beaten up and die so that I could know that God loved me? Don't sound like God loved the other person very much, did He? Now, I know that as a parent, when you whoop your child, it hurts you worse than it hurts them. But you're doing it for their good. Let's face it. What good did... Anyway, won't go there. But when it's all said and done, though, you're talking real pain and real suffering. You really, 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 really love someone, you're going to go take their place. You're not going to make them suffer for you. True love, it's just not there. Now, the reason that the Scriptures tell us that it was the Son of God is because the Bible was written to the Jews, and the Jews realized that God wasn't a person. God wasn't a human being. And so the only way for them to describe it so they could understand it, that God is a spirit, He is a spiritual being. And so, in order for there to be a human that God is dwelling in, that has to be a creation or a child of God. So the Son of Man, the Son of God, was a creation that was created, because that Son of Man wasn't 100% in itself God, because God was not a person, it was not a spirit. And the fact that the fullness of the Spirit of God dwelt in that person, it was 100% God. At the same time, it was 100% man. Only God can do that, because two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And the Bible bears that out. Paul tells us that God was reconciling the world unto Himself. God manifest in the flesh. So it was the flesh that the Spirit of God dwelt in. And for the first time, from what I can see from the Scripture, that God really knew from the inside what man felt. He knew what it felt to be rejected. He knew what it felt then to be mistreated. He knew what it felt to have a feeling of helplessness, to know that I am going to have to suffer this and there is nothing I can do about it. Because he had made a promise and God couldn't break his promise. And so he suffered, he was crucified, and he died, and he rose again. And he could have left that old body in the grave. God didn't have to resurrect that body. But he did that so that we would know that there is life after death for us. That we have hope. That we are not living in this earth and after this earthly experience, our misery, our pain, our joy, our existence is gone. He rose again so that mankind could have that knowledge. And one of the beautiful, beautiful things about the experience that he poured out then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost that God gave, is the fact that because of this supernatural miracle that God comes into the hearts and souls of lives and fills believers with his Spirit, we know that the resurrection is true. The resurrection is going to happen. It is going to come to pass. We are going to rise again. Let's stand together this morning. I'm out of time. Our Sunday school kids are coming in, and there's more that I'll just have to pick up and say later. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, let me see the benefits of being a giver. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Dear God, Lord, let me realize how great it is to be a giver, O God. God, that I can reach out and I can be a blessing in the world that is around me, O God. Oh, God, that I can bless, oh, God, and encourage and strengthen, Lord. I can give them my talents. I can give them my times. I can give them my ability, that I can care about people, that I can love, oh, God, and reach out. Oh, God, I know that you're there for us. I know that you care for us, oh, God. Oh, we love you so very, very much. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house on this Easter Sunday. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In the beautiful, beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our kids are coming back in. We're going to take a couple of minute break. We're coming back for a great time of praise and worship. Our kids have got a presentation this morning. Amen. We've got a great Easter message today. Lord bless you.